The castle at San Simeon is probably one building most Californians could identify. Not many realize that it was entirely designed by Julia Morgan, an architect with some 700 other buildings to her credit. Julia Morgan was born on January 26, 1872, in San Francisco. She said one of her first memories was of the hills and rooftops of the bustling city, and from an early age she was interested in building. Young Julia grew up in Oakland. Here she is standing with a brother by the fence of her family's fine Victorian home. In high school, she excelled in science, mathematics, and music, and from there she went on to Berkeley to study engineering because there was no architectural school in the West at that time. Encouraged by her Berkeley professors and by a cousin who was an architect, Julia Morgan went to study in Paris at the famous school of architecture known as the Beaux-Arts. No woman had ever been admitted, but after 2 years of competing, she was finally accepted. She did note a certain condescension in her professors, however. One of them, upon viewing her work, declared, "How intelligent!" as if it were the last thing he expected. Beaux-Arts education was rigidly formal and emphasized fine drawing rather than practical blueprints. Assignments were based on traditional structures to be designed with grace and clarity, and each drawing was graded on a strict point system, and this rendition of a staircase for a palace won Miss Morgan first place in a competition. She appreciated the classical training, and its influence can be seen in many of her buildings. Back in California, Julia Morgan's first important commission came in 1903 when she was given the opportunity to design a bell tower at Mills College in Oakland. This architectural drawing shows her plan for a reinforced concrete tower. Notice that the sides are narrower than the front and back, which provide more variety than the typical four-square bell tower. The form is also enhanced by the placement of the bells, breaking up the mass of reinforced concrete. The contractor of the building was not impressed with the idea of working with a young woman architect, but when the 72-foot bell tower withstood the San Francisco earthquake without a crack, the trustees of Mills were indeed impressed and gave Morgan several other commissions. Julia Morgan believed in using local materials whenever possible. For the superintendent of the North Star Mine near Grass Valley, she designed a large house of stone and wood which works in harmony with the landscape. She used structural materials from the mine as part of the design. This window shows how rail ties and track were used as part of the architectural construction to support the thick stone wall. No one can forget the 1906 earthquake and fire in San Francisco. Though not destroyed, the Fairmont Hotel at top right was found to be structurally damaged. Owner Herbert Law called on Julia Morgan to do the repairs. When asked why she agreed to the job when most people thought the building would have to be torn down, she replied, "Mr. Law told me to fix it, so I fixed it." This impressive work in saving one of San Francisco's most dramatic landmarks enhanced her reputation and led to many new commissions. The only studio photograph ever taken shows Julia Morgan with her hair pulled back and her austere office clothes, indicating that she meant business. And she did. Despite her tiny size, she never weighed more than 100 pounds in her entire life, she supervised all construction, climbing up on scaffolds, even after an ear operation made her unsure of her balance. Workers were impressed with her understanding of their jobs and her insistence on quality. In Berkeley, Julia Morgan is much admired for her houses of redwood shingle, a material locally available and inexpensive in the early part of the century. A shingle house on a hillside looks to the bay with corner windows to take full advantage of the view. Sleeping porches and pergolas also helped to bring the house and landscape together. Morgan favored side entrances, and many of her clients preferred the privacy of an interval between the house and the street to the bluntness of a traditional front door. Side entrances also allowed the architect to design large, dramatic living rooms that could span the entire front of the house. Craftsmanship in these shingle houses offered a personalized touch to each home. Full-scale drawings were finished in the architect's office, and she closely supervised her own craftsmen who followed her from job to job. The windows in Morgan's shingle houses varied. Turned wooden columns support and frame this window, suggesting a balcony. Wood paneling, exposed beams, corner windows, and built-in bookcases shape a characteristic Morgan room. Designed to be comfortable family living spaces, such rooms were in contrast to the formal parlors of the previous century. Fireplaces were a central focus, as well as the heat source in the relatively mild climate. A built-in buffet is ornamented by small leaded panes. Seats, chests, and lighting fixtures were also part of Morgan's interior designs, as they were in the houses of some other architects of the period, notably Frank Lloyd Wright, Bernard Maybeck, and the Green Brothers. Old St. John's Church, now used by a Berkeley theater group, was built in 1908 and 1910. Like her shingle houses, it is constructed entirely of wood. To keep the project within budget, she avoided any details that were not part of the structure. St. John's is also a simple example of what historians call eclecticism, the art of combining different styles to create something new. The shape of the building is like that of a typical California barn, but the gently arched windows around the doors are borrowed from English Tudor design. Inside, you can see how the high windows, the clerestory, let in a great deal of light to brighten the rather dark, barn-like structure. Chandeliers are another innovation. Morgan saw no reason to make the bulbs face upwards like candles if they shed more light and created a more interesting design facing down. When the client wished a more elaborate building, Morgan was ready with such ideas as an octagonal central tower. The Reed House, placed on a commanding corner in Piedmont with a large garden at the rear, has 20 rooms with arched vistas, an easy flow to leaded glass doors and long windows. The octagonal tower made possible a large central hall with 8 arches, while a third-floor wood-paneled playroom has 360-degree views. The front door with its columns and curved pediment gives a formal feeling. At the back, arches connect house and garden. The King's Daughters' Home was planned by volunteers in Oakland as a hospital for incurables. Julia Morgan agreed to build it, but insisted that the word incurable be left off the gate. A curved driveway leads up to the hospital, which is firmly set on a difficult hillside site. The garden was an important feature of the building, and was designed in an L shape around it so that patients too ill to go outside could enjoy it as well. A detail shows Morgan's interest in available materials. Yellow brick is combined here with ornamental terracotta and tiles. All were locally made. The ironwork and lantern give a Mediterranean flavor. Supports for the roof were carved to continue the effect of pattern and color. The interior of the First Baptist Church in Oakland has a skillfully engineered ceiling which shows all its structural framework and exposed hardware. The sweep of the wood above the circling pews gives a rhythm and tension to the building. A single bracket shows the skilled carving, the use of trefoils and balancing of triangles and curves. Each detail of this sort was drawn full size in the Morgan office and followed meticulously by the craftsman. Morgan always inspected the finished work personally and rejected anything not up to the highest standards. A Sillamar on the Monterey Peninsula was developed as a national YWCA camp and conference grounds. Here the architect was particularly concerned with making the buildings fit in with the natural setting. Long, low structures are in harmony with the stark horizon lines of the sea and shore. The interiors have a relaxed, rustic quality, and the exposed beams and hardware are used as the design features of the room. Local stone and wood were used throughout, and the windows all around make visitors feel the surroundings when they're inside. A state monument today, Asilomar is still a popular conference center. When young women flocked to the city for industrial jobs at the turn of the century, there was no safe or pleasant housing available. The YWCA stepped in and constructed living quarters in central locations, complete with such amenities as swimming pools, auditoriums, and space for entertaining. Julia Morgan built most of the major YWCAs in California, including those in San Francisco, Fresno, Oakland, Long Beach, and San Jose. The Oakland YWCA, which opened in 1915, is another example of Morgan eclecticism. Her Beaux-Arts training can be seen in the facade, which combines with a typical California tile roof. A Della Robbia terracotta trim can be found on many Italian buildings. Here it has been adapted by using California fruits and earth colors in place of the more traditional blue and white patterns. For the interior, Julia Morgan borrowed from Rome. This 16th century church, known as Santa Maria della Pace, was built by Bramante. Here, in Julia Morgan's adaptation for the Oakland YWCA, the columns and arches, as well as the frieze of biblical quotations, has been borrowed. The open courtyard effect was created by using a dramatic skylight. Note the patterned wood around the ceiling. It is typically Californian. The Emmanuel Sisterhood asked Julia Morgan to build a residence for young Jewish women, which would function like a YWCA. Their site was a difficult corner because the hill was steeper on one side than the other. Morgan made a design that was classically balanced for the facade. Three large arched windows on each side of the recessed entry contrast with the progressively smaller windows of the upper floors. Designing from the inside out, she emphasized the interior courtyard with its columned loggia on the street side. This courtyard offers an oasis for meditation in the midst of the city. Originally enjoyed by young working women, it is now owned by the Zen Center of San Francisco. Dorothy Wormser, shown here in the center, was an associate architect for the Zen Center, and the men in this picture were Morgan's office stalwarts over the years. Many young people learned the craft under Morgan's careful eye, and at busy times the office grew to as many as 18 designers, architects, and engineers. Julia Morgan was always the undisputed head, however, and was the only one to see clients. The Honolulu YWCA is one of the few buildings Julia Morgan designed outside the state of California. Ordinarily, she liked to be able to supervise construction each day, but after an initial visit to Hawaii, she supervised this project by mail. In planning all her YWCAs, Morgan believed that young women making their way in the city should be offered gracious surroundings. This building is in the shape of an H with symmetrical courtyards for the patio and swimming pool. The terraces take advantage of the agreeable climate and rich foliage. Public rooms are all spacious and hospitable. Hayfields, a country house in Saratoga, was set on a gentle slope amidst fields and orchards. The simple lines of the roof unify the building from the front, but the floor plan is in fact U-shaped, giving each room on the ground floor direct access to the out-of-doors. Verandas on three sides provide an easy interweaving of the outdoors and interior. Here at Hayfields, as in most of her homes, Morgan fit the design to the need of her clients and their families. She's even known to have sat down on the floor with children to discuss their ideas for their new homes. This Spanish-style Hearst Ranch headquarters is across the mountains from San Simeon. Julia Morgan designed it to conform with the atmosphere of the Mission of San Antonio, which lies on the plain below. Soundly constructed of reinforced concrete, the building stands out because of the dramatic dome atop what is otherwise a sturdy hunting lodge. The Army now owns the former ranch, and the building serves as officer headquarters. Jules Supo, a woodcarver, was one of Morgan's favorite craftsmen. She designed this combination shop and house for him on Polk Street in San Francisco. On the left is the door to the shop. The door on the right leads to the apartment above. Each was carved in magnificent detail to advertise his craft, and ornamentation around the doors and balcony is continued on the inside as well. Supo did all his work for his many Morgan projects in his own shop. Here he is seen carving animals which can be found today under the eaves of the Casa Grande at San Simeon. The Chapel of the Chimes, a columbarium in Oakland, includes a chapel, public rooms, and vaults for the ashes of the dead. Like her other eclectic designs, this chapel combines the traditions of California architecture with the European styles Julia Morgan studied in Paris. Rounded Romanesque arches, inset with Gothic tracery, are set under the red tile roof and square tower so typical of California missions. Inside, the elaborate detailing of the columns and arches emphasizes the European monastery tradition. These detailed castings provided a challenge to the old world craftsmen who considered it an honor to work with an architect who had so much respect for their skills. The Berkeley City Club stands as one of Julia Morgan's most significant achievements. It conveys power and importance in its stone facade, with an imposing tower and familiar tile roof. The ornate detail gives a suggestion of a castle, and indeed most of the craftsmen also worked on San Simeon. The entrance is one of the last examples of ornamental stone casting in the Bay Area, first the Depression and then the fashion for stark, streamlined modern architecture eliminated the demand for this and other old-world crafts. The hall and stairway of the Berkeley City Club are guarded by heraldic lions of stone, and the vaulting, similar to that in the Chapel of the Chimes but less ornate, reflects Morgan's admiration for medieval styles. Julia Morgan was well known for her swimming pools. This one for the Berkeley City Club is distinguished by the tremendous span of the arches and the brilliance of the tiles. Natural light comes through the arched windows. William Randolph Hearst was without a doubt Julia Morgan's most extraordinary client. As a young man, he met Morgan while she worked on commissions for his mother, Phoebe Apperson Hearst. When he began his own ambitious building projects, he naturally turned to the talented family architect. Julia Morgan was well suited to work with a man like Hearst. Her assumption that the architect's job was to create what the client wanted made her ever patient, as he frequently changed his mind and seemed to ask the impossible. Here at Wintoon, a Hearst family estate in Northern California, Julia Morgan created a Bavarian village in a clearing on the McLeod River as a home for his collection of German art treasures. Fountains and sculpture decorate the grounds, and each house was given the name of a German fairy tale. Illustrations based on the tales were painted on the exterior of two of the castle-like houses. Inside, the ornate woodwork is another testimony to Julia Morgan's versatility in design and the skill of her dedicated craftsmen. San Simeon, America's most famous castle, offered Julia Morgan the greatest challenge of her career. William Randolph Hearst wanted the Enchanted Hill, as he called it, to stand for more than a luxurious home. It was to be both a monumental setting for his tremendous collection of European art and a Western power base for his media empire. Morgan and Hearst worked together for endless hours planning and redesigning each building. This is one of the early sketches on the back of the cover of the Saturday Evening Post. It's a far cry from the detailed drawings of palaces she had learned to do as a young woman at the Beaux-Arts in Paris, but her classical background, as well as her engineering skill, were essential in undertaking this mammoth project. Note the ornamental wood carving set between the two towers. Here, in a grand display of eclecticism, Julia Morgan combined Mediterranean and medieval styles with early Spanish-American details in the same design. The facade is reminiscent of this classic 18th-century mission, San Xavier del Bac, in Tucson, Arizona. Expense was no object in the building of San Simeon. Thousands of tiny details were worked into the design, even at heights where no one could appreciate them but the birds. The interior of the great towers was equally elaborate. The gold bedroom had windows all the way around and four little balconies, each offering a breathtaking view of the mountains or the sea. The Enchanted Hill was more than a castle. It was a whole village. This is one of three grand guest cottages, each designed with ornate terracotta detail and lavish interiors. To complete the feeling of the Mediterranean village, the roof lines were often staggered, offering a different view from each of the many terraces and balconies. Swimming pools and other Morgan specialty were designed in regal proportions. This outdoor pool was created to set off Hearst's classical treasures, including the entire facade of a Greek temple. The indoor Roman pool was so large that two tennis courts were placed on the roof. It is completely lined in thousands of mosaic tiles of deep blue and gold leaf. The back of San Simeon was never finished, but the northern terrace shows how Julia Morgan planned to integrate Mr. Hearst's various European treasures into one design or cityscape. Some of the windows are Venetian, others are French or Spanish. The unfinished walls of reinforced concrete are a reminder of the sturdy underpinning of the entire building. Walls 18 inches thick not only provided good insulation from the strong California sun, but protect the building against earthquake damage. This little shack at San Simeon has been left as a tribute to the designer of the building. It was here that Julia Morgan came every other weekend for more than 15 years to work on drawings and to change plans to suit her whimsical client. She and Hurst would sit across the table from one another for hours, planning each section, and legend has it that Morgan would draw upside down so that he could watch without having to crane his neck. Even the farmhands benefited from Morgan designs. This cottage at San Simeon Harbor was built for the head cowboy. The building is simple compared to the castle, but the tower gives it a character of its own. The San Simeon Ranch was more than 200,000 acres, and views such as this one from high in the castle gave Hurst and his guests a chance to appreciate the vast, undeveloped lands to the north and east. Julia Morgan knew she was building a museum rather than just a residence, however splendid. She respected Hurst's seriousness about the place and shared his love for European art. Often she accompanied him on trips to gather more treasures. This vision of a museum, more than anything else, seemed to give her the courage to persevere. Her quiet strength soothed workmen bewildered by Hurst's ever-changing plans. While others referred to the enchanted hill as a toy, she knew it as a monument. In 1929, when the University of California conferred on her an honorary degree, Julia Morgan was cited for her great buildings nobly planned to further the centralized activities of her fellow citizens, and as an architect in whose works harmony and admirable proportions bring pleasure to the eye and peace to the mind.